If you would turn with your Bibles, turn your Bibles with you, or look on your device, or look on the screen. So we're going to read a portion of Scripture here, and then we're going to talk about it. And I say we're going to talk about it because we're going to, that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about it, and we're going to see what God's got for us here. This is the parable of the talents. Sometimes when people read this, they're talking about this is, well, it's a gifting and a talent that God's put into you. And it can be read that way. But really, the way the thing is written here, and Jesus told this story more than one, or told a similar story like this. And, you know, he was talking about money. But let's start reading. I'm going to be reading this out of the Passion Translation. So it may sound a little different. It says, again, heaven's kingdom realm is like the wealthy man who went on a long journey and summoned all of his trusted servants and assigned his financial management over to them. Before he left on his journey, he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants. 5,000 gold coins. I looked that up to kind of see what that value of that was. And that's in today's worth. I mean, it really was more than this, but we'll just use this as a number. $5 million. The talent was a weight, and today's price of gold, that would be $1,305,000. So we'll just say for $1 million, and we'll know we're close. So he entrusted a bag of 5,000 gold coins to one of his servants, to another a bag of 2,000 gold coins, that'd be $2 million, and to the third a bag of 1,000 gold coins, each according to his ability to manage. The one entrusted with 5,000 gold coins immediately went out and traded with the money, and he doubled his investment. And this, in the same way, the one who was entrusted with 2,000 gold coins traded with the sum and likewise doubled his investment. But the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins, or $1 million in today's money, dug a hole in the ground and buried his master's money. After much time had passed, the master returned to settle accounts with his servants. The one who was entrusted with 5,000 gold coins came and brought 10,000, saying, "See, I have doubled your money." Commending his servant, the master replied, "You have done well and proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you have been a faithful steward to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, 'Come celebrate with me.' Then the one who had been entrusted with 2,000 gold coins came in and said, 'See, my master, I have doubled what you have entrusted to me.' Commending his servant, the master replied, 'You have done well, proven yourself to be my loyal and trustworthy servant. Because you were faithful to manage a small sum, now I will put you in charge of much, much more. You will experience the delight of your master, who will say to you, "Come, celebrate with me."' Then the one who had been entrusted with 1,000 gold coins came to his master and said, 'Look, sir, I know you are a hard man to please. You're a shrewd and ruthless businessman who grows rich on the backs of others. I was afraid of you, so I went and hid your money and buried it in the ground. But here it is. Take it. It's yours.' Angered by what he heard, the master said to him, 'You're an untrustworthy and lazy servant. If you knew I was a shrewd and ruthless businessman who always makes a profit, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? Then I would have received it all back with interest when I returned. But because you were unfaithful, I will take the 1,000 gold coins and give them to the one who has 10,000. For the one who has will be given more until he overflows with abundance. And the one with hardly anything, even what little he has, will be taken away.' Then the master said to the other servants," this doesn't end well, "Now throw that good-for-nothing servant far away from me into the outer darkness, where there would be great misery and anguish." Wow. We started off really good there, didn't we? But we didn't end well for that last guy. Really, in the the Amplified translation, where it says lazy, slothful servant says, "Sir, I know that you've been hard to get along with. You harvest where you don't plant, and you don't see scatter seed." And it says in one translation says, "I was frightened of you." In another translation, it says that I was afraid I was going to lose the money. I was afraid I was going to lose the money. It's interesting, you know. And in our discussion, we're going to look at these three characters of the story here. We have the master, we have the faithful servants, and then we have the unfaithful servant. And through this, I hope at the end of this, we're going to kind of identify where we see ourselves falling in the story. Who are we in this story? Because we can be in this story. So let's go back to the beginning, and I'm not going to read all the words again. But what did the master do? The master, he had entrusted all his wealth to his servants. So he had called his faithful, trusted servants who had been with him apparently for a long time. I mean, Nate, would you, if you had $8 million and you're going to go out of town on a trip, right? And you're going to leave all your financial wealth with somebody, who are you going to call?
Somebody you trust.
What'd you say? You said Ghostbusters? No, you're not going to call Ghostbusters. Not going to call Ghostbusters. You're going to call somebody you trust. Somebody you got a relationship with, right? Somebody that you think can handle your money while you're gone. And not just handle it, I don't think, you know, and it's pretty evident from the story, he didn't want them just to hold it and keep it safe because I don't trust the bank and just keep what I gave you safe. And that's, and really, when we think of steward, when we think, because in this one translation it says the word, you've been a good steward. When we think of steward, we're thinking about maintaining it, keeping it safe. If we're a steward of the church, or we're a steward of something, we think about maintaining it, keeping it up, keeping it safe. If I'm stewarding Wesley's car, he's got this vet, you know, and he likes to drive that, and he's going to be going out of town. I'm going to be stewarding his car. I'm going to keep it washed. I'm going to keep it gassed up. I'm going to keep the oil. I'm going to keep it, you know, keep it safe, keep it in the garage. Well, that's not really the picture we get right here from these guys being good stewards. These guys did something more. But they apparently had this relationship with the master that they had worked with him over a period of time. They were servants in his house. So he trained them. I'm sure he'd probably taught them whatever it was he was expecting them to do. You know, if he's going to give them these tasks or something to do while he's gone, I'm certain that he showed them, worked with them. They've done it before. He was there when they did it, and they walked through it. Or he wouldn't have the right to ask them to do something they've never done before. You know what I'm saying? That would be a little unfair, wouldn't it? To ask somebody to do something that they've never done before, that'd be a little unfair. So I'm thinking he had worked with them and trained them, taught them. So he had faith in them. The Bible says that he gave them the money, his money, based on their ability to manage it. So he had enough of a relationship with them and been with them to enough time that he knew that one guy could handle $5 million. One guy could handle the $2 million. One guy could handle the $1 million. He thought that they all could handle something. So he gave it to them for them to handle it and take care of it. So the master's got this stuff, his possessions, and he gives it to them for them to take care of. You have to think for a moment, though, at least I do when I'm reading this, what's the purpose of like him doing this? I mean, I know he's going to go on a trip. He's going off on a journey. But ultimately, we see what happens in the end. Some of these guys get promotions. So this could have been like a test. Could have been like a test to see if they can handle it while he's not there. And if they can, they could get promoted. But I don't think he just wanted them to maintain it, keep it the same. If maintain status quo, keep it the same, give me back what I gave you was sufficient, he wouldn't have acted the way he did at the very end of the story. He wouldn't have done that. So when we think about being a steward, this really, when I read this, this challenges my thinking. The minimum that I should be doing with what I got is double. I should be doubling whatever God's placed in me, whatever God's put in my hand. If I'm a good steward, if I'm a good servant, if I'm trustworthy, if I'm faithful, then I should be doubling. That's what God's entrusted me and you, all of us, to have something in our hands. He's given us something. Well, like Jesse was saying a moment ago, we've all got something. But what are we doing with our something? But the master had put his stuff in these guys' hands and gave them an opportunity to obey, an opportunity to be faithful, an opportunity to do something with it. So that's the master. $8 million, that's a lot of stuff, a lot of money. Then you have the faithful servants. Because two of these guys, they got exactly the same reward. One guy started with $2 million and turned in $4 million. One guy started with $5 million and turned in $10 million. And it looks like it's the same amount of effort for both those guys to do what they did. Both of them got the same reward. Both of them were faithful, he said. They were loyal, trustworthy. Both of them got to be promoted to be over much. Both of them got, come celebrate in my joy, whatever that means. We get to go to the big house. We get to go to the vacation place in Paris. Whatever that is, you know. We're in the inner circle. Maybe these guys are now partners and no longer just, you know, servants. Maybe they become a partner in with the multi-millionaire, billionaire guy who got them started. But they were faithful. They were faithful in doing it. So what they did is they went and traded. They conducted business with the master's money in the name of the master, for the benefit of the master, all for the master. It had nothing to do with them and their image. They're doing this all for the master. So they're doing it for him. So he says that they are faithful. It's interesting that he didn't say, you are such a good and hardworking servant. I think that, you know, hardworking would have been nice to, you know, if they were hard workers, because, you know, sometimes we like to think about ourselves as we're hard workers. But he says, you're good and faithful. You are a faithful servant. So somewhere in that faithfulness comes those things that Pastor Matt talks about, those five keys to success, you know, the show up, be on time. Work hard is in there. It's number three. Think and have a good attitude. So working hard is part of it. But these guys did. They showed up. They were on time. But they went out and they traded with what they had, what he'd given them. And in that trade, they generated and doubled the master's investment. I think it's pretty interesting. So what were they faithful to? They were faithful to the command. They were faithful to the training that they had had. They were faithful to the trust and the faith that the master had placed in them. When I say that, I mean that the master trusted them with the money. He trusted them with his possessions. He had faith in their ability. He believed that they could do it. He believed they could do it. He had faith in them. Enough faith that he's able to just leave and go away on a journey. He had trust, confidence, reliance on them that they would take care of his possession, his wealth, while he was gone. He had faith. They were faithful to do something good with what had been given to them, and they were faithful to produce more than what they started with. And they were also faithful to stay committed to it until either he came back and told them to stop or he told them the job was over. So it, however long it was that he was gone, the Bible's not clear how long of a long time he was on this journey, But apparently, he was gone for a while, and they kept doing it all the time he was gone. So we can look at these guys, and we can see that they knew the master. They knew the master's heart. And then they trusted in his confidence in them. They put into practice what he taught them to do. They followed his directions, and they increased. They increased what he gave them. But let's look at this other guy, the unfaithful or the lazy servant. He's an interesting fellow. Because in one of these translations, it calls him lazy and good for nothing. Untrustworthy. Now, why would he call him lazy? I mean, when Jesus is telling the story about the master, why is the master calling this one servant lazy? I mean, I can understand he's saying that he's untrustworthy, maybe he's not faithful, but he actually uses the word lazy. You know, he's a servant, right? So that means every day when he wakes up, he's waking up where? In the master's house. He's putting on the clothes that the master got for him. He's going to eat food at the table that the master has already paid for. Even though the master's gone, that's what he's doing. So everything he's, whatever it takes for his cost of living, it's all been provided for him by the master because he's the master's servant. But yet he takes what the master gave him to steward, to watch over, and he buried it in the ground. The other two guys who were in the house with him probably, who are there going out on every day on their business, they leave the house in the morning, but he's still there. They go out and they do their stuff. They come back at night. There he is. What's he been doing all day? Did you ask yourself that question? I asked myself that question. I read this and I said, what has he been doing all day? What's he doing with his time? That's why the master calls him lazy. I think most of his time was spent thinking of excuses about why he couldn't do what he was supposed to do. Or maybe it was, here's another thing. Maybe he's paralyzed in fear. Because he was afraid. So he was afraid, because the Bible tells us that he was afraid. He was afraid that he might lose the money. And that's what fear does to us, is fear paralyzes us. So he was afraid he's going to lose the money, so he did nothing except bury the money, put it in a hole, didn't tell anybody where it was, didn't want anybody to mess with it. Can you imagine going out, digging a hole, and putting $1 million of gold coins in a hole? I mean, let's just think about this for a second. Say he invested it, because you know the master had confidence in him that he could do something with that $1 million. The master trusted him to be able to do something with it. But say he went out and did something with it and he lost a little bit of it in doing something. How do you think the master would have reacted to that? Would the master have been really mad? Or the master would he have said, you know, I still got work to do here to teach you some more? What would a master have said? I mean, I really don't know exactly. But I don't think the master would have reacted the same way he did, which you just take what I gave you and you bury it and you do nothing. Which is what he did. He did nothing. Just nothing. That's why he called him lazy. He just buried it. So, he was afraid. Sunday morning, Carolyn Clark said this in her message. She just said this one sentence, and I've been thinking about this passage for a few weeks. And she said, fear is an obstacle for all of us. She said, and she went on to say, it's not what you're afraid of that's the obstacle, but it's the fear itself is the obstacle. So it's not that you're afraid of that you're afraid you're going to die one, you know, you're going to die. You know, I'm going to die. I'm afraid of that. So, you know, That's not that. It's the fear itself that keeps you from acting because it paralyzes you. You stop. You won't act on what you believe. You won't act on when somebody's got confidence and trust in you, like the master did for this guy. You won't even act then because that fear will paralyze you. So I believe that's where this guy failed. If we had to put our finger on it, you've got two guys who were successful because they were faithful and they did what the master said do. They went out and performed. They did what they'd been trained. But you got one guy who's afraid. Fear stopped him. He was afraid he's going to lose the money. One translation says he was frightened because of he's a shrewd and ruthless businessman. So if I think about when I think about that, I'm thinking, if I worked for a shrewd and ruthless businessman, I would be doing what he said to do because I would know that, you know, I got to get it done. And I'd be afraid to not do it. It's kind of like what it was when I worked for my dad growing up as a kid. You know, if he said, get something done, by golly, we got it done. Now, we would play around, me and my brothers. We would play around, but we would get it done. Because when we didn't get it done, we'd had that spanking. You know, that's not politically correct today. But my father was a believer in the belt and the paddle and the switch and anything else he could get his hands on if you're standing enough close enough to him. So he was a ruthless, he was rude sometimes. He was a shrewd businessman. He was a great businessman. But we had fear, respect for him. So if this man had fear for if this servant had had fear for the master, I think he would have obeyed. He would have at least done what the master said, at least put the money in the bank, or take it to the money changers and let's get some interest on it, do something. But he was afraid that he was going to lose it because he didn't have confidence in himself. He didn't have confidence in himself. He didn't have confidence in the master's confidence in him. And that fear paralyzed him, stopped him from doing anything with it except buried in the ground. I believe that's why he failed. So the root cause of his failure was just straight up fear. So I come to this question. So we look at these three characters. We have the master. We have the faithful servants. We have the servant who was unfaithful, unloyal. And me calls him unloyal in some translations. Untrustworthy. Can't count on him. Can't trust him. And then he uses that big L word, lazy. Who are we? Who are you? Where are you in this story? Has fear, this is how you know, has fear stopped you from doing something? Now, when Jesse was receiving an offering a while ago, she said that each one of us have treasures, really, in us. Every single one of us in here have treasures in us. Treasures that have been given to us by God. Some are monetary, that, you know, we have in our hand. Some are things that are in us, but things that are in our possession. But are we doing with them what the Master wants us to do? Are we obeying? Are we being faithful? Or has fear of losing it, fear in any way stopped us from doing it? Has fear stopped you? Has fear paralyzed you? Now, we know how we overcome fear, right? We overcome fear by, you know, the Bible tells us in Romans 10, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we can find God's word on a topic, find God's word on something, read it, study it, meditate it, say it, post it on the mirror, post it on your steering wheel, quote it to yourself, talk about it to somebody, and build up your faith because God's word produces faith and that faith will run the fear out. But you've got to have confidence in our master. our Lord and Savior, God, and know what His plan for us is. But has there ever been something in your life, or are you right now in a spot where you are afraid to do whatever it is He's called you to do, whatever He's told you to do, whatever the next step is? Let me tell you about me. So back in 96, I went on a trip to Honduras. Had an evangelist came to our church, and he invited me to go, so I went. I remember when he invited me, I told him, I said, there's just no way I can go. Too much work, too much stuff going on. And I ran the sound in those days, and I was back there running the sound as he was preaching. And just on the inside of me, it was just impressed, you didn't go. So I just made arrangements, and I went. Boy, that was out of the box for me, I tell you. 2 weeks in Honduras. About the middle of the trip, I got sick. Thought I was going to die. After about 3 days of being sick, I wish I did die, you know. So it was one of those deals. You know, throwing up, diarrhea, the whole deal. It was bad. But anyway, so I came back from that, and then the opportunity came to do some street ministry stuff. And I can tell you, I was afraid to do that a little bit. I mean, they wanted me to go downtown to the shelter and places like that. And I was just really uncomfortable doing it. Didn't really want to do it. On the inside, I knew that I needed to do it, called to do it. We're all called, right? It's just a matter of stepping out. So it's just, I knew I needed to do it. But what got me was, we had an 80-year-old woman in the church, 80-something. She went. And I thought to myself, if she's going to go, what is my excuse? I have no excuse. So I've got to go. Because I already know I'm supposed to be there. It wasn't even our church doing it. It was another pastor in town. And so that's what I did. So I went. I showed up every other Friday, because he only did it every other Friday, for 2 years. It rained, snow. It didn't never snow, snow in Augusta. But rain, cold weather, hot weather. I would leave sometimes and the bottom of my feet would be baking. We'd be out there on the pavement for like 2 or 3 hours and hot weather. We'd be out there for 2 or 3 hours in cold weather. And I just did it. I was faithful. I showed up. I was on time. I brought whatever I had to give. God had placed in me. And I did that for 2 years. And then that stopped. And then we had an opportunity to do outreaches at our own church. And I got involved with that. And we had some of you know the story, we prayed with 10,000 people in 2001, one-on-one, face-to-face, on the streets of Augusta. But all those things, I stepped out to do them. And really, that's what you have to do when you're afraid. You put some word in you, and then you step out, and you go. Carol led praise and worship for the first few years of the church. And she did it, and Mike Netzler would do it, and they were on the praise and worship team, and they would have these conversations that you could be sitting on the seat and you don't feel anything at all, except almost afraid of the congregation, afraid of the song or whatever. And it never hits you. The anointing never comes on you to get you to go up there, and you don't just float up there under the anointing and then do the music. That's not how it works. You walk up there gripping the microphone because you've never sang in front of anybody before in your life. They turn the music on and you open your mouth and you start leading everybody in praise and worship. And the knuckles sometimes would be white, wouldn't they, Carol? Your knuckles. Because she'd be up there just doing it. And that's where the anointing will hit you, is when you get out there to do it. So you conquer the fear by knowing what you're going to do based on what God's word has told you, knowing what He's called you to do, and then taking a step towards it. Go towards it. Go towards it. So all of us, you know, we are, we face these fears, and they can either stop us, or we can do what God's called us to do and move forward. Because inside of us is treasures that some people will never get from me because it's you, and you're going to reach them. Pastor Matt and Susie will never see them, but it's you. People that you can reach, people that you can minister to. But if we don't do it, if we're just afraid, if we hold back, we delay it, it's like, what are we waiting for? When Carolyn said that Sunday morning, I was thinking, because she went on to say something about, I think it's the verse in Romans, what is it that can separate us from God's love? There's nothing. So it doesn't matter what the fear that you might have of, what doesn't matter what that item is, it doesn't matter what it is. It's already, you already have the victory over that in Jesus. You already have the victory over that. It doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter. You've got the victory. But the victory doesn't come with you sitting on the seat waiting for the time to start. Okay, I'll tell you another story. So I did all that, 96, 99, 2001. That was an arc of what I did using the spiritual gifts within me. We all got them, right? So then, but at all that same time that all that was going on, God was dealing with me about business for me. Now, I'm in the family business, and there's just too much family in the family business for me. So it's just a family business. But I wanted to be in business with Carol. That's who I wanted to be in business with. Not with all them. Nothing wrong with all them. But Carol's my wife, and she's not married to any of them. She's married to me, and I want to be in business with Carol. And God had been, and that, see, that was really the same thing to my parents. My parents, I saw my parents. They were in business with one another, and I saw all kind of employees come and go, but my parents, my mom and my dad, always worked together side by side. And that's what I saw as my dream, or part of my dream anyway. It wasn't all of it, but I just wanted to do that. So I was afraid to do it for years. I was afraid. I would think to myself, this is silly. You would probably think this is silly. But I would sit at my desk with the plans to do it, with the name, with my the whole business model. But I would say to myself, who's going to be the person on TV? Eddie, that can't be you. I mean, you can't do that. I mean, you talk funny. You look funny. I mean, you can't do that. So I spent a year, I kid you not, a year trying to talk other people into being the spokesperson for the business I wanted to do. 1 year of my life was spent, it was a miserable year too, of my life was spent trying to convince other people to be the spokesperson for my business, for the business I wanted to be in. Isn't that ridiculous? It's ridiculous now, I think about it, looking back on it, it's really ridiculous. But I finally one day said, you can do it. What, I can do it? Yes, you can do it. It's almost like on the inside of me, it's just like, you can do this. And then I took a step. Took a step. I'd have to tell you that whatever it is that you are dealing with, you want to go, you want to be, that God's put inside of you, that dream that's there before you, you can do it. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. Go towards it. Put down the fear. And when you do that, there's something that happens when you do that. These faithful servants, there's something that happened when they went out and started trading. Yeah, so they knew a little bit about what they were doing. I believe that they were, he had trained them. They're not out doing something brand new they've never done before. He trained them, he showed them, but they had to deal with the fear of that they might lose 5 million. They might lose the 2 million. They might lose it. But in going out and trading, they were stepping out in faith because they believed in his faith in them. They believed in the master's faith and confidence in them. Y'all see what I'm saying? They believed. They went out and traded. Hey, Joe, you want to buy some of this? Hey, they're out trading. That's what they're doing. They're out trading with the world with this, whatever they had. But they're doing that confident because the master was confident in them. He had entrusted that to them. He'd put that in their hands for them to grow and to prosper. And them doing that, there is that same anointing that comes on you when you go up there. It doesn't come on you when you're sitting in your seat. It comes up on you when you're, I'm talking about like when Carol would lead the praise and worship. When she goes up there to lead praise and worship, there, the Holy Spirit, God meets her up there to do it. The same thing happened to these guys when they're out trading. Them following the master's job description, them following the master's commands, them doing what the master told them and taught them, put them in the position to be able to double what he'd given them. We should be stewarding what God's given us. And when I say steward, I mean at least double. The other time Jesus tells this story, or very similar to this, he talks about he gave them M-I-N-A-S, whatever that word is, minus. It's a different, it's still worth money. That's $17,000 instead of being this $1 million in gold. But they took those same guys, one of them took the one, and he made 10 out of it. One of them took the one, and he made 5. And he says to those guys, the same things the master said to that crowd, you know, good and faithful servants, share in the abundance that the master has. But in that crowd, there was one who took it and buried it, or took it and put it in a napkin and hid it. We're not supposed to do that with what we got. It's not a good outcome. That's not a good end of the story for you, if that's how you do. Now, there is grace. Thank God for grace. There is mercy. I don't believe that we're going to, you know, he's going to fry you or nothing. But I'm just telling you, what we got to do is we need to trust him. We need to trust him. God's got your back. God knows what you can do. God believes in you. God's put gifts, talents, and abilities, and he's even put some money in your hands. He's done that stuff for us right here in Augusta. We can take that stuff, what's in us, and we can double it. We can make something of it. For some of us, it could be just as simple as, hey, I'm going to start a Bible study. Could be something as simple as, I'm going to start praying. I'm going to pray for a nation. There's a lot of little things it could be. Whatever God's dealing with you to do, don't be afraid that you might lose it. Don't be afraid that you might mess it up. Don't be afraid in any way. Don't let fear come in. Don't entertain the thought of it. Don't even let and the thoughts come. Don't they come? Anybody have a fearful thought? I'm not talking about fear like, boo, and you jump. You know, you walk into a room and the kids jump out at you. You walk into the room and your coworker says, boo. I'm not talking about that kind of fear. I'm talking about where the fear where you think about it, you meditate on it, and you say you can't do it. Do not entertain a thought that comes that says you cannot do what God's called you to do, that you cannot do what your boss has told you to do. I mean, we all work a job, right? We should be working like we're working unto the master here. Because if we do that, we will get a promotion. We will, if we take whatever the master's entrusted us with, whoever your boss is, and you treat that like the faithful servant said here, you will be promoted. They'll put you in charge of a bunch of stuff. That's what will happen. I'm telling you, I'm looking for those kind of servants all the time. We're looking for people who care about it the same way we care about it. That's what a master's looking for. But if you'll do that on your job, if you do that with the gifts that God's given you, if you do that with whatever's in your hand, up is which way we go. Growth is what we do. Increase is what happens. And the end result for all of us is we get promoted, yes, but we get to enjoy the joy of the master. We get to celebrate with the master. And we get to be part of the team that gets the job done. Because our Lord and Master is coming again. And we're going to get the job done. We're the group. We're going to get the job done. We're part of the group. We're going to get the job done. And He's placed it in us. He's equipped us, enabled us. And we can do it. But do not have any fear. No fear. Y'all got me? These guys, this one guy failed. His failure was fear tripped him up. Let's don't fear. Let's don't have to be afraid. When those fearful thoughts come, replace it with the word. When those fearful thoughts come, say the word out of your mouth. I'll leave you with this last one thing. Your brain can't think those thoughts of fear when your mouth is saying God's word. You can't, your brain, that's the thing about our brains. God made them really good. But He made this one special part to it, is that when your mouth starts talking, your brain stops thinking to listen to what your mouth is saying. And if you put God's word in your mouth and you say God's word, when thoughts come that would tear you down or tell you you can't make it, that you can never accomplish it, that you ain't got it, or whatever it may be, when you start saying what God said about you, your brain, those thoughts will shut up and get quiet, and they listen to what you've got to say. So keep God's word in your heart. Keep God's word in your mouth. Keep Him in your focus. And do not be afraid, but be faithful. Be a person, a servant who is full of faith, who is a faithful, trustworthy, loyal, get it done, accomplish the task, do the mission. Master comes back, we get promoted, we get to celebrate. It works with money, it works with spiritual things, it works both ways. Okay? I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, do something with this in us. Help us see it. Help us see the light. Help us see the truth. As we focus on the Word, Heavenly Father, as we focus on what You've called us to do, fear has no place in us. It has no power over us. Not here, not now, not anymore. We commit to follow You. We commit to do what You've told us to do. And we believe that You've called us. We believe what You put in us is truth. We believe what You put in us is life. And we believe that life will drive away darkness. And it will drive away death. It will drive away sickness. It will drive away anything the evil one has. We put our trust in You, Heavenly Father. And You have put Your trust in us. And we will get this done. We will accomplish this mission. And we will see You in a few days. We thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.